This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Welcome everybody to the Safina Society Nothing But Facts live stream on a Wednesday. Beautiful day, actually. Crisp autumn day. One day off from the break that everyone's going to be taking. And today we have the soup kitchen. We got the dinner at 6 o'clock. All the setup starts at 5 o'clock, and this is the dinner that we inshallah plan on having 7 days a week before the year 2030. It may happen way before that, and it may happen at that time, but that's the goal. 7 days a week, this place will be busy, action. And we're at the third story, the third floor of this house. That's where the soup kitchen, that's where the studio is. Second story, living quarters for people. First story is split. People live in one half, and then our soup kitchen the other half. Then we have a basement for there for storage, and then we have another basement, which is being built out, and will soon, hopefully by 1 month, be approved for tenants by the city. We're going by the book. We don't do this illegal stuff, and then you feel nervous all the time that anything could happen, any little thing could happen, and then you get audited, and then you get all messed up. So we're going official. It's one of the prettiest basement apartments, and 4 students will live there. I mean, it's tiled. There's like, you know, that brushed gold look, all light colors, and 4 guys will live there, and that will be revenue for the soup kitchen, right? 4 guys will live there, inshallah. And you're an hour off from Bob Wood. That means if one of them is a resident, I want a resident. You know why I want a medical resident? All they do is sleep, eat, take a shower, and go back for another 20 hours or something, 18 hours or 36 hours into the house. I don't want him in the building. I don't want him making a mess. I don't want, you know what I'm not going to take? Political science students, liberal arts students. You know why? Because they're not doing anything. They're going to sit home all day and have parties and have their friends over. No, I want people who are busy. They're the people who don't mess up the apartment, right? I want a bio major, right? IT engineering, I don't think they study, right? They don't really study. But maybe, I'd say that they're 50-50. But I would really want a medical resident, maybe a nurse. Maybe, you know, one of these new positions. Every decade, there's like a new layer. It used to be you had doctors and you had nurses. Now there's a doctor. Nurse practitioner. What is that? What's the difference between a nurse practitioner and a nurse? Then there's physician's assistant. What is the difference between that and a nurse? I'm sure there is a difference. I just don't know it, right? What is the difference? Why are all these layers in any event? Whatever they are, those are the people I want. We're a mile off. That means you could walk in the summer after work. You could take your car and be there in literally 60 seconds. I get to Bob Wood in 60 seconds. So that's what we're looking for. And the community has put this together, by the way. It's this community here at the live stream at Nothing But Facts. And all these guys are the ones who put this, plus our donors here at New Brunswick. At the masjid. They're the ones who put this house together. But I promise them one thing. We do not use the funds that you raise for programming. We don't we don't use it for that. We use it for assets, building out this apartment. Then I'm going to ask this tenant to move. Now, they see the tenant downstairs, we have a good relationship. The tenant upstairs, not good, not bad. So I have no... You know when a tenant passes you by and he doesn't say hello? I'm done with you. You don't have akhla. I have no reason now to be nice to you. Now, the guy downstairs, right, also equally was hesitant about us, but he has basics, like he smiles. So I'm going to be very nice to him. Okay? So this tenant up here, yeah, the lady is good, but the son, I don't know if it's a son or the nephew. She's got thousands of people living there. There's new people living there every day, right? But one of them always comes. He knows me. He sees me. And you just walked by, right? And you didn't even say hello. Not even hola. Not even, and he's like a cool guy too. He's not a miskin. This tenant is not a miskin. He's a gym buff. I think he's a physical trainer. But you're actually going to walk up the step, down the steps. I'm coming up the steps and you're not going to say, hey, hello, after I said hello, right? So you're done. I'm done with you. You know what I'm going to do with him? You're not getting that extra mile that a landlord can go with a tenant. Simple as that. That's why you got to be nice in life. You got to know how to act because people don't have to deal with you. So when it's an at-will decision and I have to make a call one way or the other, right, then I know how to make the call, right? And I'm not going to do it. So I've already asked them, come on, let's go on. I want you to leave because I want to house hack that one too. I want to refurbish that and hack it to a bunch of people working in the hospital, right? Because you get more rent out of that. I'm trying to break it down apartment per meal. Like how many apartments, how much rent produces for us a dinner? And that's how you mathematically do it. That if we have this many tenants, we have this much rent, we could do 3 dinners a week. If we did this much, we could do 5 a week. So on and so forth. That's how it works. Okay? Excuse me. I just coughed in your face. There. Let's go to the dua. Ali, what's happening? All right, so we have Ali from East Orange.
No,
Newark.
Shayan from Woodbridge,
he's supporting the W. Parlin, which is a little under Newark. And then we have Taha. And then we have Ryan from Edison. We got the Edison crew here. Let's go to the dhikr. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La ilaha illallah al-malik al-haq al-mubin. 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 Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا وكان عند الله وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة ومن المقربين وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نصر من الله وفتح قريب وبشر المؤمنين يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله كما قال عيسى بن مريم الحواريين من أنصاري إلى الله قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤود حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. أعوذ نفسي بالله تعالى من كل ما يسمع بأذنين ويبصر بعينين ويمشي برجلين ويبطش بيدين ويتكلم بشفتين. حصنت نفسي بالله الخالق الأكبر من شر ما أخاف وأحذر من الجن والإنس ما يحضرون. عز جار وجل ثناؤه وتقدست أسماؤه ولا إله غيره. اللهم نجعلك في نهور أعدائي وأعوذ بك من شرورهم وتحيلهم ومكرهم وكائدهم. أطفئ نار من أراد بأداوته من الجن والإنس حافظي حفيظي كافي يا محيط. سبحانك يا رب ما أعظم شأنك وعز سلطانك. تحصنت بالله بسم الله وبآيات الله وملائكة الله وأنبياء الله ورسل الله والصالحين من عباد الله. حصنت نفسي بلا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. اللهم احرسني بعينك التي لا تنام واكنفني بكنفك الذي لا يرام وارحمنا بقدرتك علينا فلا نهلك وأنت ثقتنا ورجاؤنا. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أهدى خلقه ورضى نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته. Let's do inshallah a few minutes of dua. صلى الله وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All right, ladies and gentlemen, first order of business is we're going to change this color because right now we're about to talk about Pakistan. All right, come on, my moment here. Here we go. Ready? Let's try again. There we go. Now we can talk about Pakistan. I'm taking this like a sort of a joking matter because I really don't know what's going on. I should probably not joke about it, but what is going on in Pakistan? Why is it? Hey, you're into Pakistani politics. All right, cometh and speaketh and tell us what exactly, why am I getting messages? How could you possibly stream without talking about Pakistan as if a calamity or a crisis occurred? I don't know. Now we're going to know. All right, so what's going on in Stan?
So there was a massive protest. As you know, Imran Khan, the former prime minister, is in jail for more than a year now.
On a watch, right? Mm-hmm. Watch gate, over a watch.
Over like multiple false allegations. First it was related to his wife.
Of course it's all nonsense,
then,
right?
Yeah, it's all nonsense. So then his party and himself called out for a massive protest to occur on Sunday.
Yeah.
In Pakistan, in Islamabad, in the capital.
Okay.
So there was thousands and thousands of folks that gathered up. And then the military, paramilitary forces kind of like, you know, did their oppression. I think over like 100, 150 people got killed in the protests and stuff. I just saw a video this morning. There was a guy praying on like a trailer. And the cops or like the military people just threw him off. As he was like in his ruku or something, in his praying position.
Hmm.
So it just goes to show you. So there's like a massive. Now the difference between Bangladesh and Pakistan, why Bangladesh was successful because it was more of a political outage versus a military outage in Pakistan. Military controls Pakistan politics under the guise of a
democracy. So yeah. Let me ask you a question. So these guys, look at. SHQ was like, how do you not know what's going on? that's how every nationality thinks when there's a coup in their country. I'm sorry, having a coup in Pakistan isn't really news, right? And this isn't even a coup, but
it's a silent coup
Okay, check this out.
Yeah, but the media hasn't been publicizing
it. No, haven't publicized it. Yeah. But now listen to this. So essentially, the Imran Khan's party went to protest his fake imprisonment, which, from what I read, it's fake, right? Yeah. They made up stuff. And then they opened fire on them? And how many... did those guys go armed? No, his people. They're not armed. They're peaceful types. Okay, and then they fired on them and killed how many?
I think it was about 100, 150.
150. They killed 150 and dispersed the whole thing. And it's done with. Done for. Everyone went home?
No, it's still going on.
It's still going on.
Like, it's getting more.
Are they pitching tents?
Yeah, like,
people come from across the country.
So, like, if you see, if there's photos and videos of, like, how much traffic there was in Islamabad, just, like, caravans of people.
Homer, put pictures up.
Yeah. I think maybe I'll just read up.
Okay, let's read it. Imprisoned former Prime Minister Imran Khan has urged his supporters to fight to the end. Yeah, I like that. As Pakistani authorities, yeah, he has so much supporters, they could just walk and January 6th, the whole operation, right? Just walk on the Capitol and January 6th, the thing, right? Yeah. Walk on the Capitol.
They're trying to do that. I mean, it's not the first protest, but this is one of the ones that was supposed to be a massive one.
He has so many followers, but problem is, you know, I'll tell you what the problem is. His followers are the educated latte types. These kids can't do anything. No, they can't do anything, right?
The educated latte elite types.
Yeah. Okay, but don't... So, wait, you got the fat cats who are the business elites. Those are not with him. But the new generation, westernized, speak perfect English, right? And drink lattes, they love him, right?
They love him to the point where...
But they're useless, those people.
They're useless, and most people in Pakistan, especially whether it's youth or all the other elites,
yeah.
They have this snobbish mentality where they don't really believe in Imran Khan.
That's the established money.
Established money.
Right? They don't believe in it.
There's like an elite class and there's like a...
There's an elite class. Elite there's class. A poor class. But then there's this westernized swath.
That's the elite hip class. The westernized class is the elite.
Oh, they don't like him. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, in that case, yeah. they should go out there and go off and march.
Yeah.
And that's what he's encouraging them to do.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's sit and read here for this hard-hitting analysis on what's happening from Pakistan. From myself, yours truly, an Egyptian. Mm-hmm. All right, security forces on Tuesday, not that I know anything about Egypt either. Security forces on Tuesday clashed with supporters of Khan's Pakistan Tahrik al-Insaf,
yeah.
Which is action and justice, correct? Tahrik and Insaf. They broke through barriers. They marched towards the center of the lockdown capital, Islamabad, to stage a sit-in. The protesters are demanding the return of what they call a stolen mandate. Why are they doing this now after all this time?
No,
it's been a long time.
It was like a few months ago.
Yeah.
But it was a false election. Imran Khan and the current government, they try to do all these tactics to like eliminate, I mean, it's whether it's replacing the ballot system and all this kind of other stuff. Overall, overwhelming majority of Pakistanis... First of all, to get Pakistanis...
Omar, is your mic on?
Yeah.
Catching him? Yeah.
To get Pakistanis to come out and vote is like a big thing. So
yeah.
That. So now the fact that there was an overwhelming majority of people who were actually just like tired of this current situation
yeah.
and went out to vote against the current establishment and vote for PTI and Imran Khan showed that Imran Khan had some support. So now they added more allegations to his imprisonment charge. Trying to silence
Listen,
him.
You know, you've been part of PSA, right?
Nah.
Okay.
I don't do that.
Yes, yeah, and I told you, PSA, I tell you it's why it's fake. Every president of the PSA at Rutgers has finished his term. You're not real Pakistanis at that point, right? You cannot finish your term if you're a Pakistani president. So here's my suggestion for the PSA. To make it truly the Desi Pakistani experience, there should be a secret, okay, and you get an alumni, he chooses two secret people, and these secret people, they can do things no one knows who they are, such as, for example, they, you know, Model United Nations.
Yeah.
Model United Nations, they wake you up at like 12 midnight and they say, hold on, President of France has been killed, right? then you have to come and chaos, right? That's what the PSA should be like. There should be two people who select, who are the agents of chaos. Nobody knows who they are, but they get to make an announcement at any random time, right? There's been a coup. The treasurer is now the president, right? And the president is now, and then you have to have PSA meetings to figure what's going on. This is far more representative of the Pakistani experience. Anyway, okay, so the protesters are demanding the return of what they call the stolen mandate. And this, the government, in the meantime, is calling for the army to implement law and order. Imran Khan, posting on social media, how's he posting in jail, but forget that, to remain peaceful and united, and saying their struggle is for survival and true freedom. As tension rose, the government dismissed prospects of further dialogue with PTI and accused Khan's wife, Bushra Bibi, of orchestrating unrest. Now, you know the saying, if you shoot at the king, you better hit. You better kill. You know that saying? Same thing here. If you're going to do this, you better, this better work. Because now his prison sentence probably just got 50 years longer, right? The loss of life and economic damage over the past few days lies squarely on one person's shoulder, says Minister Mohsin Naqvi. She is wholly responsible for this chaos.
Military general, Pakistan leading the, he's like the current dictator in charge right now, without actually being labeled as the one in charge.
So, Bibi released a statement. Wait, she's in jail too?
I think Bushra Bibi is in jail too. I don't know.
Why is she in jail? Isn't she like a mystic or something? She's like a mystic or something, right? She's like a spiritual leader of some group. Despite facing a number of obstacles, including highway closures and shipping containers blocking roads, hundreds of PTI supporters on Tuesday morning reached Dichok, a red zone. It houses government offices, including the presidency, the prime minister's office. Initially, the security personnel present at the site withdrew. As night fell, authorities shut off the streetlights, plunging the area into darkness. Internet connectivity has remained patchy, right, throughout the day. Bibi, who has so far maintained an apolitical but influential presence in Khan's life, delivered a number of short speeches throughout the day. Our protests will not end until Imran Khan is amongst us. Earlier in the day, the Interior Minister Naqvi hinted at Bibi when he alleged that a hidden hand was sabotaging in this anti-state agenda. Who's here? So that. Full house. Do you come by yourself or do you come bearing tea? Without chai? Astaghfirullah. Okay, so that's good. So, khalas, I mean, you're not defeating the Pakistani army, right? Who's defeating the army? Look, we've become a news station here. Who's defeating the army? Right? But, I mean, I guess spirited attempt, not bad. But is there anything else to read about this story? They tried. They're shutting them down. And that's it. Your family is with Imran Khan, right? Oh, yeah. Everyone educated seems to be with Imran Khan. Sunday alone. Where?
In Times Square.
Oh, there's a Times Square protest. Was, yeah. Didn't know that. Did not know that. But the older guys are not. In the masjid, the old guys are not with them.
No, masjid, they're a minority. Like,
they're a minority?
No. Masjid people more slightly with them because Imran Khan is a man of being for the most part,
yeah. All right, so that's the news. I think Imran Khan, I mean, I guess it's a good attempt, but it didn't work out, fortunately for him. I guess we go to the next segment. We do news of the Ummah, affairs of the Ummah. This is the affair of the Ummah. They protested, and the military shut it down, just like Egypt. But Rabia was far worse. In Egypt, Rabia Square was far, far worse. They, first of all, Tahrir Square was the original, but then after it was, they elected Morsi, then the government, the Mossad, the CIA, the elites didn't like the decision. So they start like messing with him, cutting the power, all that stuff. And then they found someone on the inside who could take the position in his place. So they then did a coup, basically. And then when his supporters protested the coup, they fired live ammunition at them and killed hundreds upon thousands. And that's why the Rabia became like a symbol for that, because that's the square that they were in when they protested. But this is not nearly as much as that. This is 150 days, people in one day. That was like thousands over the span of weeks. Yeah. But this is not strong enough, right? It's not strong enough, right? They need to really like... Did they go into the capital? Did they go onto the capital? Like, they need to go for the neck. You need to go for the throat. You got to do that on the first try. Catch them. Now they're prepared, right? Not that I have, like, coup experience, but if I was to do it, I would be like, listen, we only got one shot at this. You got one shot, but then you need generals on the inside. You need a general on the inside. Hmm? But Pakistan is run by generals, not the people. So you need a general on the inside. That's it. This stuff is going to be more likely to be done in back office talks. Yeah. In any event. One of the most common arguments that Christian missionaries pose. Today, next segment, we go back to, we're going to talk about the scriptures. Somebody asked a question yesterday. The Quran says there is no replacement for God's word. Therefore, how do you also simultaneously say the Bible has been altered or the Torah has been altered when there's no changing, no replacing God's word? Well, firstly, the meaning is that there's no alteration, there's no replacing God's word in meaning, in value. You see what I mean? Like, you cannot bring something better than God's word. You cannot come up with a better idea. You cannot come with better guidance. That's one of the meanings. Secondly, God's word is placed into different books. One of these books, of course, is the Quran. Another one of these books is the Torah. Another one of these books is the Injil. Another one of these books is the Zabur. And so many other books that we don't know about. And sometimes they're not given names, such as the scrolls, Suhuf of Ibrahim, the Suhuf, scrolls. And the word of Allah is not limited to these books. The Quran says, if all the trees were used to make pens, here's a size of a pen. If all the trees were made pens like this, and all of the oceans were ink, you would finish the trees and the oceans before you finish the word of Allah. I mean, think about this. The knowledge of Allah is infinite. Paradise goes on forever. And yet Allah is all knowledgeable about what's going to go on eternally forever. So the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala and His words, as He is infinite, they are infinite. There is no end to what Allah Ta'ala knows and will say. So... The questioner is asking, how is the Bible altered if it's God's words? Well, it's not God's word that gets altered. It's man's attempt to preserve it. Okay? That's what gets altered. And he only preserves the Quran. Quran is because that's the guidance at the end of time. One of the most common arguments I'm reading here from Bassam al-Zawadi, Hanbali scholar. One of the most, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's a Hanbali scholar. Everything I read out of him is strong. He's very knowledgeable and solid. One of the most common arguments that Christian, I didn't read everything, by the way, but a lot of times when I read his stuff, I know He put thought into it, and he studied, and he's grounded. One of the most common arguments that Christian missionaries pose to the Muslims is that Islamic teachings allegedly affirm the authenticity and the divine nature of the Bible that Christians follow today. Okay. There seems to be a misconception among Christians. They think that Islam teaches that there once was an original Bible, and then the Bible got corrupted. Okay. Islam does not teach that there was an original. This is not what Islam teaches. Because the Bible and the Injil are different things. Islam does not teach that there was an original book of Philippians or Corinthians, which later got corrupted. We don't even believe that these books are divine in the first place. So the Bible that we have today is simply works of sira, almost, you could say. Just descriptions of what happened. That's different from the Torah. Islam teaches that parts of the original revelation sent down to Moses, the Torah, and Jesus, the Gospels, still exist in the Bible today. Islam teaches that people came and wrote things on their own and claimed it was from God, then mixed their writing with the original revelation and removed and added. It is important to note that the Quran and Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could use the Hadith is the sayings of the Prophet, could use the words Torah and Injil differently depending on the context. For example, Ibn Kathir says the Torah refers to what was revealed to Moses. Surely the word Torah is found in the Hadith and is used more broadly there. Right? In Western academia, and the book, by the way, Al-Kitab, refers to all of the prophetic messages and revelations collected. So, for example, Moses, the first five books of the Torah were given to Moses. Then the next prophet came and he received books that was added to that. Another prophet came, was added to that. And that's why it's called Al-Kitab, the book, right? And so it consists and comprises of all of these books. And it was supposed to also comprise of the Injil, the Zabur to David, and so on. Western academic Camilla Adang states the same. Although the Quran, in the Quran, the name Torah is mostly used in its proper sense, i.e., the books of Moses, or the first five books, or the Pentateuch, it is often applied in the post-Quranic Islamic literature to the entire Hebrew Bible, and even to Jewish extra-canonical literature. The rabbinical literature, too, is sometimes called the Torah, which is not surprising considering the fact that Judaism considers these sources to be the oral Torah. The Arabic word most commonly used in the Quran and Hadith to state that the Christians and Jews distorted their book is called Tahrif. This ties into the thesis that we demolished yesterday, that Jews and Christians are exempt from following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and are good to go based on their religions. One of the logical reasons for that is that their book is not even preserved. It's muharraf. It's completely muharraf to begin with. The original meaning of the word tahrif is to lean from the pen in a certain direction or to twist words to correspond to your own desires, according to Raghib al-Isfahani. Al-Shahristani remarked that tahrif means changing the written word to an alternative to give it a corrupted meaning. This is tahrif. So in this meaning, they're altering the word of Allah. Whichever way they do it, they alter the word of Allah. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَالْدُعِهِ Altering the words with no change of meaning. Meaning changing a dhamma, etc. Al-Baji says in his commentary on Al-Muwatta, they, the Jews, want to distort the words of Allah out of their places, just as Allah Most High described them. Instead of saying Assalamu Alaikum, they would say Assalamu Alaikum. So slight alterings of meanings. Here we see that Imam Baji speaking about how the Jews used to say Assalamu Alaikum, poison be upon you, to the Prophet, instead of Assalamu Alaikum, and that peace be upon you. And then states that they're changing the letters is tahrif. Okay, so tahrif is not just misinterpreting a statement. It's actually changing the letters, or adding or removing. What I will be doing in this article is presenting evidence from the Quran, authentic statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, statements of the companions, Christians and Jews, that Christians and Jews textually corrupted the revelation of Allah. Okay. So let's take an example from the Quran. Allah says, therefore, woe be unto those who write the book with their hands and say, this is from Allah, that they may gain a small, purchase a small gain therewith. Woe unto them from what their hands have written, meaning they physically change it with their hands. Here we see that Allah is warning those Jews who write the scripture from themselves and say it's from God, meaning they said their own words. They put their own words in there. Not all of them are alike, says the Quran. لَيْسُ سَوَأَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ From the people of the book, there are upright people. They recite the signs or verses of God in the night and bow down worshiping. They believe in God in the last day. They command what is just and forbid what is wrong. And they hasten in good works, and they are of the righteous. Who are these? These are the people who practiced this before the Hujjah or Islam. And those who practiced it afterwards, submitting to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Abdullah bin Salam, therefore all of their ibadah was acceptable. It was good. That the sign that their ibadah was accepted is that Allah guided them to the truth. So they get the reward of that, and they get the reward of Islam. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they receive two rewards. Okay. Laysu sawa. Abdullah bin Salam and his like. And there are certainly, Surah Al-Imran, among the people of the book, those who believe in God, and that which has been revealed to you, meaning they're converts. They believe in God and they're converted. Okay. In that which was revealed to them, bowing in humility to God, they will not sell the sign of God for miserable gain. And selling the revelation to them, and that it meant lie to people about what the revelation says about Muhammad. So they had signs of the Prophet ﷺ, but in order to make sure that they stay in their position and don't have to submit to these Arabs and these non-Jews, they had to lie about what was in the book. They will not sell the signs of God for a miserable gain. For them is reward with their Lord, and God is swift in account. We said this yesterday, but we'll say it again. The praises of the Bani Israel, of the Yahud, in the Quran is from either before the message or after converting to Islam. That's how they're being praised. Even today, if a Christian scholar became Muslim, which we do have one here, he was a Russian Orthodox monk or whatever, and now he's studying it at Maqasid. So you say about this, here's a Christian scholar, understood his scripture, was obviously sincere. God accepted him. The sign of the acceptance is guiding him to the truth. Same thing here. So the people of the book being spoken about in these ayats above refer to those who believed in the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and recited the Quran at night. What talking about the recitation at night is not the recitation of their books after Islam. No, it's the recitation of the Quran after Islam. It refers to those people who believed in the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi and were not afraid to speak about it and refused to alter the scripture to cover up the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In no way do these verses suggest that the people of the book who believed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the complete correct text of the Torah. When Allah describes Ahlul Kitab as standing in the night reciting his word, it's the Quran. It's not the old word. Or it's that in their time when it was not corrupted and before an updated message had come. And it shows that they understood the text correctly and were aware what the true Torah contained through oral traditions. The Quran does not state that there was a Torah corrupted textually and a Torah that was not. Nor does it say that the righteous people of the book ever participated in the corruption of the Torah. It does not require that all of the people of the book came to corrupt it. A few, with great authority and power, they can achieve this task and nobody could stop them or no one stopped them. The Quran says the Jews wrote the book with their own hands. The book in this verse is the book being mentioned throughout several verses regarding the Jews. The Quran states that the Jews, after writing the book from themselves, then claimed it was from God. Right. Allah then says, and they're saying, surely we have killed the Messiah, Isa, son of Maryam, apostle of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. But it appeared to them as so. And most surely, those who differ therein are only in a doubt about it. And they have no knowledge respecting it. But they follow conjecture. They killed him not for sure. The verse makes it clear that the crucifixion of Jesus is conjecture and corruption. The crucifixion of Jesus is taught in the Gospels that we have today. Thus, the Quran is clearly, in an indirect way, saying that those Gospels are corrupted. It's not true. It is amusing, he says, how some Christians try to argue back that the author of the Quran probably did not know that the crucifixion was mentioned in the Gospel. And if he had, then he probably would not have denied it. Here's the thing. Anytime you see anything about any Hebrew prophet in the Quran, guarantee you, it said specifically to correct something in the Bible. We said yesterday, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ Sulaiman has not committed kufr. Now, just think about this. How is that a praise of a prophet? Like, why would you praise a prophet with that? You can praise prophets in many different ways, right? But to say that he didn't make kufr, that is not what comes to mind when you're thinking about a prophet being praised. And the reason for this, okay, is that the Yehud said, they said he was a pagan and died a pagan. So that's why the Quran is correcting that. The Quran is, everything they say about every single prophet is a correction. How about this? Prophet Isa bin Maryam, that he was good to his mother. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي It's assumed, right? It's assumed. He's the greatest worshiper of Allah on the earth at that time. How is he not going to be good to his mother? Because there's a verse in the Bible where Mary brings out water to guests and he said, go get us some wine, woman. That's in the Bible. And so the Quran is correcting that. Say, he was good to his mom. He wouldn't have said, go get us, what is this water? Go get wine, woman. Look that up, Talha. Go get wine, woman. It's a verse. So everything in the Quran about the Hebrew prophets, it's a correction. Okay? There. Go up again. Go up, 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 up. Yeah, it's right there. In the Bible, Jesus tells Mary to get wine at the wedding in Cana in Galilee. Mary asks Jesus for wine. When the wine runs out, Mary tells Jesus they don't have any more wine. Jesus replies, don't tell me what to do. Oh my gosh. Jesus replies, my time hasn't come. Don't tell me what to do. Hold on, I'm still reading. Mary instructs the servants, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Jesus instructs the servants to fill six stone waters, jars with water, and then draw some and take it out. Jesus performs his first miracle. Okay, some say that Jesus' response to Mary is the most perplexing verse in the Bible about Mary. See? Others say that the dialogue between Jesus and Mary is either meaningless or impossible to understand because it's too short. Give me what you found, Taha.
The actual translation is rough.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother, Mary, said to him, they have no more wine. Okay? Jesus says, why are you involving me in this, woman? Ajib. His mother said to the servants, do whatever Jesus wants. Nearby stood six water jars and Jesus filled them and then he did his first miracle. Okay. And that's why the Quran, this is in what? Chapter what?
John
2:1-11. 1-11. Read that. And the actual verse is John 2:4. John 2:4. Woman, don't get me involved in this.
What?
Imagine that. That's why Allah says in the Quran, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِهِ, because he knows people read that verse and they see that verse and he's correcting. This, the Quran is sent for the Christians and Jews to correct what would be in any Christian kid's mind. Wow, Jesus said that to Mary? I thought we're supposed to be good to Mary. I suppose we... I will tell you the matter to read. Watch out for all these cables and cords. The Prophet... What happened, Omar? Yeah. Are Christians seriously asking us to believe that none of the Muslims during the Prophet's times knew that the Gospels taught that Jesus was crucified, yet at the same time throughout that Islam told them to believe that the Gospel in possession of Christians were pure and undistorted? Couldn't the Prophet have easily been exposed by Christian converts, such as Salman al-Farisi or Maria al-Qibtiyya, the Coptic slave girl who would have known that the Gospels taught crucifixion, while at the same time Islam taught that the Gospels were undistorted? How about being exposed by Christians and Jews at the time? By the way, no, stop crisscrossing the camera. Something bad's going to happen. All right, I mean, the Quran, clearly no Christian can argue that Muslims believe that there is an uncorrupted book. It's obviously a corrupted book, right? And the corruption of the book isn't on us to prove. Their own scholars have proven it. Their own Christian Bible scholars have went on and on about how unknown the authors of these books are. Like, they have code names for the authors because they don't know who the names are, but they could tell this style of writing matches up here, 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 here. So they call that like the D school, right? The D school. Like, Deuteronomy was written by that group of people. And then another group of people wrote another set of books. Al-Hakim narrates this hadith with a chain of transmission, and then it gets to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, told us that he went to Shem and saw the Christians prostrate to their bishops and priests, and Jews prostrating to rabbis and scholars. He said, "Why do you prostrate to them?" They said, "This is the greeting of prophets." I said, we better do this to our prophet. Allah's prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, they lied. They didn't do that to their prophet. Their prophets never taught them to prostrate. They lied about their prophets just as they distorted their book. The Quran is doing Christians a favor in removing things that you know in your gut is wrong. Every Christian child and priest really has a problem with the Trinity. Nobody says... You know what the maximum they say? We can explain it. If you think and sit still for a little, we could probably explain it. No one says, oh, this is so relieving, right? No one looks at, takes the Trinity and says, well, it just settles so well and it's so relieving. Nobody ever says that. The maximum they'll say is, A, it's a mystery, or B, it's not a mystery, it's a contradiction. There are a lot of mysteries, right? A mystery is just something you don't know. A contradiction is very different. So don't mix words here. It's not a mystery. It's a contradiction. Nobody ever, the maximum they ever say is either it's a mystery, we just have to accept it, don't think about it, or listen, there's a book this big that if you get through it, you'll understand it. Okay? Tell me what person can understand the Trinity without technical terms. The actual definition of an essence and all that stuff. Right? So how's a farmer, how's a regular nomad, wasn't Peter a fisherman? How is he supposed to understand this doctrine? Isn't Peter the first convert to Jesus and he was a fisherman? Regular person's not going to understand this stuff. So nobody says about the Trinity, oh, what a relieving doctrine. It's so simple, so crisp, so easy to understand. A child can get it. No one ever says that. They say a lot of other stuff, but they never say that. And so the Quran has come to relieve you of this lie, this just cooked up falsehood, fabrication that is not sitting well with any of you. It's come to relieve you of monasticism, which has caused all this rape and all the child molestation is a result of taking the human being and unnaturally treating him. I mean, stopping him from doing something he has to do. He must do. He should do. He learns when he does these things. He's grateful to God when he does these things. And then telling us, subhanAllah, how you have a revelation that's never been preserved. You have people who are thumping the Bible in the evangelical countries in the South that are very pious. I would say pious in quotes. They're trying to be pious in their religion. They're trying to be good in their religion. But don't you ever think, you in Texas with the Bible, what connection do you have to Jesus? You don't read the word that he wrote or he recited. You don't know what he said. You don't even know what the language is. Ask any evangelical, regular church-going person, Baptists here of New Jersey or in the South or in Alabama or wherever, what language did Jesus speak? They'll say Hebrew, which is false, right? It's not even Hebrew. It was Aramaic. Can you tell me what Aramaic sounds like? Have you ever even heard what it sounds like? I don't even know if it exists in the world. Academically or something, maybe. Who speaks Aramaic? Find me a YouTube video with Aramaic. You guys are... How did Jesus worship God? Definitely not going to concerts, because the churches have become concerts now. It definitely did not look like a Joel Osteen event, which is a self-help event. Joel Osteen, it's self-help in the guise of Christian. The guy is a businessman. Don't ever think he's a pastor. He's a businessman, right? And he took self-help... And he took the prosperity gospel and he couched it, those lessons, sprinkle a couple biblical verses on it, sell tickets, sell books, sell TV contracts, and you got it. What do you got here? Aramaic? I want to hear what Aramaic sounds like.
No,
it's not. It doesn't exist anymore.
No, it does exist. There are people. It's a living language.
They speak Aramaic?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Show me the evidence. Show us the evidence. I guarantee you it's they're speaking Shami dialect that's so bad they could pass it off as Aramaic. It's so strong. Who?
California.
Get an example.
Some people in Trollic, California speak Aramaic.
That's, what kind of claim is that? Some guy in a university who said two words? I want to know a husband and wife chit-chatting in Aramaic. Someone talking in Aramaic. Hey, Omar, put that up there so we can all hear what Aramaic sounds like. And it's, by the way, we don't have nothing to judge it against, by the way. He could be totally butchering everything. You know, when Israelis speak Hebrew, you butchered it. This is all butchered. This does not sound Semitic at all. We know what Semitic languages are like. Let's listen to this.
Aun Dushmayan of Kadash, Schmach de Themal Kuthach, Nehwe Soryanach, I cannot Dushmaya Apara.
Haulan, it's Persian. This is speaking half Persian, half Hebrew.
Hushoklan, Haubain, Wahtahain. I cannot Apahnan, Shwakan, Haya Wains, La Talan, Missiona, Ella Hassan, Disha, Mutul Dila Themal Kutha, Haila, Ishno Apar for Sultan of Ishmaya Wara.
All right, maybe. A handful of people still speak Aramaic. A handful, that's it. And they're in Iraq and Syria, that whole Sham area. All right, maybe. Okay, but that sounded like.
I doubt it's preserved. Like, it's definitely just something.
Yeah. The next generation are going to lose it. Anyway, like the distance between what a practicing Christian in Texas and his actual prophet that he's supposed to believe in, there's no connection. You don't worship like him. You don't dress like him. You don't live like him. Like there's no connection. It's not the same language. Who knows about the book? You got nothing, right? The Quran has come for them. To relieve you of these stresses that you're stressing yourself on top of that, you have no law. Your law is weak. It's so weak. The wokeism is destroying you. Like wokeism is completely mowing the lawn with you guys. How do you protect from that stuff is a law that we all believe in. Some fundamentals that we all believe in, we cannot shake.
Yeah, at least the Jews had law.
They got law, at least. They got too much law.
But they circumvent that.
They got too much law, and then they circumvent it. So I'm like, do you guys want law or you not want law? You make so many laws, but then you circumvent them all. It's such a contradiction. This other group, they love God so much, but they don't want to do anything. There's no law. Where is the law? Like, you love God so much, but there's no law. So what I'm saying here is that Christians in Texas, practicing Christians, you're trying, you're putting out a great effort, but you're just exhausting yourself, and you will fail at the end of the day. The Quran is not coming to be against you. It's coming to help you out, right? And you will get all the reward of loving Moses and Jesus, but properly, right? That's our message to them. That's, if you read the verses of Ahlul Kitab that we read yesterday, it's all, we're revealing this book for you, to you.
Ultimately, what it comes down to is that Christianity is a feel-good doctrine.
That's what it's a feel-good thing now.
It's designed to make you feel at ease, hopeful, overly hopeful, no punishment. There is a warning to punishment. They all think they are saved.
Yep. And that's what it is, 100%. All right, let's... Who's in the chat? Ryan G., as Sheikh Murad likes to call him, Goldilocks. Yeah, Ryan from YM. Hey, Ryan, your whole YM crew is here from Edison, but not your Highland Park. Oh, wait, not Highland Park. What is it?
Hillsborough, Montgomery.
Yeah, Ryan. No, not that Ryan. Goldilocks Ryan. MashaAllah, Ryan's here. And by the way, we're all coming, bi'idhnillah, to see Ryan. We're going to Tareem. Man dakhala Tareem kharaja Saneem. All right, let's go to the Q&A. Q&A time. Please make dua for the martyrs of Pakistan. Okay, I mean, I don't know if they're martyrs, but maybe they are. They're fighting for a lawful election. Okay. I don't know if elections are lawful to begin with, but nonetheless, they were robbed. But may Allah give them Jannah. I mean, they died anyway. May Allah have mercy upon them, whether Shaheed or not. They're not guilty of anything. Marching in the street, you're not guilty of anything unless you're a madkhali. Then yes. Then thinking about it is you're guilty. But yeah, rapid fire. Let's do rapid fire QA. And may Allah give those people Jannah.
I mean, Ya Rab, someone's asking, can a Christian from like El Salvador go to Jannah if they didn't have a good representation of Islam?
Well, if you didn't learn about Islam, and we're just going to leave it vague like that, you're innocent in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you did bad things in your life, your fitrah does tell you something, right? If the fitrah of the human heart and the ancient morals that have been passed down, they still have some weight. But going against them will cost you your own spiritual comfort, moral comfort, and you may have some suffering in your grave as a result of that. But on the day of judgment, you will not be guilty of hellfire, condemned to hellfire because you had no knowledge. So again, it's not that we're saying you're 100% scot-free. If you don't know about anything, you never received the message of Islam, but then you raped and killed and stole knowingly, you know that's wrong. You harmed yourself. And in your grave, you may suffer from that. And in your life, you may suffer from that. But on the resurrection, when you stand in front of God, you have an excuse. President of El Salvador, I heard he's like an Arab in origin, yeah. Okay, next. Chess in general, games in general, lehu in general is makruh, and sometimes even they deem it haram for adults in the Maliki school. But in Andalus, they used to use chess as an aptitude test for kids. They used to use chess as an aptitude test. And so they actually encouraged it from that perspective. Okay.
What is the best way to improve adab / akhlaq?
Adab and akhlaq is best improved by being around people who have adab and akhlaq and not being around people who don't have it.
Is marriage with a modern Christian valid?
it's not going to be zina. It, well, who? The woman or the man? Yeah, no, if the man does that, then she will, inshallah, it will inshallah be a valid marriage. If a woman does that, it's zina.
Should Muslims support Ansar Allah?
I don't know anything about Ansar Allah group.
Does one fast indefinitely every day until he's married in accordance with the hadith?
Say again?
He's asking, does one fast indefinitely every day until he's married in accordance with the hadith?
You don't fast every day. That's too much for you. You can't even do that. You want to get out of a contract? You want to get out of a contract? You have to negotiate yourself out of a contract. You got to negotiate yourself out of contracts because the sharia between two muta'aqidain is al-aqd. You know that? The sharia between two people in an aqd, in a contract, is their agreement. What's this to do? Yes.
Salam from Daz, what are your thoughts on Ammar Ahmed?
I can't really talk about him. He's too busy being in love right now.
Many people having dreams regarding a warlike situation and stuff. That's not a question. Yeah, you guys are weak on the questions today. What's going on? All right, ruling on men wearing bracelet chain, if Arf of society doesn't consider these things womanly, would it be Mubah?
Well, we have in the Maliki method pretty strong condemnation of men wearing any jewelry except one ring. And it has to have a certain weight. It's one ring, maximum silver ring, maximum certain weight at a time. You can own 10, but you only wear one ring at a time. And all other jewelry, they deem it to be forbidden because of Allah saying, أَوَ مَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينٍ. Right. That because of that verse of Quran, and I think the Hanafis, they deem it makruh, right? All jewelry except the ring is makruh, I think. A watch is not jewelry. Tools that you put around your neck is not jewelry. Next.
Next is it permissible to write fantasy fiction but with Islamic elements?
No, don't mix the two.
Shapeshifter, werewolves, vampires.
Shapeshifter, werewolves, vampires, but don't bring in Islam in this. You can write a fantasy novel, right? But don't bring Islam in it. Don't confuse the two things. You want to tell a story about a werewolf? Tell a story about a werewolf, but don't make it an Islamic werewolf. What? Nah, don't mix the two things.
What does traveling in a car, bus, train, or airplane signify in a dream? What do the people in it with you signify?
What is it?
He's asking about traveling in a car, bus, train, or airplane signify in a dream.
It's traveling through life. Yeah. Wallahu a'lam.
They're talking about Kesh. What is the judgment on following Kesh? Is Kesh from the way of knowledge?
Kesh does not supply certainty. Kesh yields to speculation. And therefore speculation will never override certainty. And that's how we can have a lot of spiritual experience without going astray. Because you didn't have epistemology. Epistemology tells you that spiritual experiences, unveilings, mukashafat, events happening in life will maximum ever reach the level of speculation. It's a personal affair, yeah. And it's the best between two halal things, right? To judge, because either way, you're fine. You're good to go either way.
And it can very well be true, but it's just not authoritative, you know.
100%. It could be true, but it's not authoritative, right? So that's how, the more spirituality a person is exposed to, the more knowledge of Sharia they need to have, and the more awareness of epistemology they need to have. What yields certain facts, certain knowledge, and what yields speculation.
This
next.
Like a crown gem of the Islamic tradition, because you look at the Catholic Church, mm-hmm, and like the scientific revolution, the entire reason why the Catholic Church was, and Christianity and all of that, you know, fell was,
yep,
because they didn't have proper epistemology.
They didn't have epistemology.
They took Aristotelian like ideas, mm-hmm, and made it like clefite, and then when they found out, no, actually, for example, the earth is not in the middle of the universe, they were stuck. Instead of just saying, oh no, okay, that's fine, it's lunny anyways.
Not only that, they in the modern era, when they discovered that miraculous happenings, which we would call simply, which khawariq al-adat, happened to Buddhists, Hindus, monks, their faith shook. And they assumed immediately these people must also be on the truth. If a khariqat al-ada occurs, meaning a seemingly miraculous supernatural event occurs to a Hindu, a Muslim who has his fundamental knowledge of this stuff will say, big whoopty. Literally, big deal. It's probably a jinn or something. Or a test from Allah. But our truth is never determined by these types of events. You're not going to alter, you're not going to override the revelation with that event. I remember I told you that story about in India, a guru was causing a lot of fitna. And he was levitating in front of the mosque. And the Muslims were just villagers and they're following him. Right? They became Hindu with him. So the ulama, they realize it's fard kifaya for one of us to refute him. But how are you going to refute a levitator? Not with words. Words are not going to do the trick to these common people. So he sat, or his sheikh said to him, you have to go. His sheikh wrote him a letter. You have to go. He said, how? What do I do? He said, really, leave it to Allah. And he went and he started making dua. And when he started to do that, he put his head down. All of a sudden, while his head was down, he heard a big commotion and takbir. He looked up. I said, what happened? He said, you didn't see what happened? Your flip-flop went up and then went over his head and started knocking him down. Right? How would we perceive that or understand it? So simply for us. One jinn is lifting the other guy up and the other jinn hit him with a ship. That's it. We believe in the unseen. This unseen realm is so vast. We're not shaken up by that. When the Dajjal comes and if he was to resurrect the dead, if he was to split a man in half and put him back together, we, with our guidance from Allah Ta'ala and firmly established in this knowledge, we should say, big whoopty. He's not going to change tawheed. You're not going to change anything. The Quran is thabit. Hadith is thabit. And Allah, on top of that, you know what we're going to say? We're going to say, you actually increased this in iman. Because the Prophet said this would happen. Quran said all of this misguidance can occur at the hands of Iblis, at the hands of Shayateen. You just increased this in it. So the Catholic Church, on the other hand, is a huge crisis. The idea that supernatural things happened to other people. And they literally ceded their truthfulness. They said, we're not the only truth anymore. Wow, that's how flimsy this aqidah is. Next question.
All right, I think it should be good. So my mic was low because to avoid echo, but I think it's better. Next question. Let's see. What's the ruling of cat saliva in the Maliki Madhab? Can I drink from my glass of water if the cat has drunk from it?
Yeah, yes, inshallah, should not be a problem.
Do we Zahid al-Sunnah affirm the takfir you haven't seen?
You still wouldn't do it, of course. No, it doesn't mean would do it, but...
Do we Zahid al-Sunnah affirm the takfir of Ibn Sina from Imam al-Ghazali as well as Neoplatonic cosmology?
Well, if he said what he said, which is also what I said last week, 2 weeks ago, if he said what he said, that heaven and hell are not physical, that they're just of the spirit realm, that's kufr. Because it's one of the things he established, or it's alleged about him, that I remember personally. Okay.
How does a Muslim not get impatient when trying to achieve a long-term goal?
Keep wanting it, keep remembering it, keep thinking about it, keep thinking of the reward. Doesn't Allah Ta'ala, what's the longest term goal? Going to Jannah. It's the longest term goal. You still gotta live, you gotta die, you gotta get resurrected. There's a long way, it seems to us, right? But the Prophet ﷺ said, everything guaranteed is near, because it's guaranteed, it's not going anywhere. It's only getting closer to you. But you think about the reward. You always think about the reward, right? And you think of the shortness of life. You don't think of the longness of life. Think of the shortness of life.
Also, one line that sticks with me that I keep in my head is "Tarkul ajil al ajil." Like that's like kind of a summary of our deen.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving the now for the...
Not only is that for the deen, it's for all success. Is somebody who's able to put off short-term pleasure for long-term gain. Deferring pleasures, yes.
Sheikh, how do you distinguish between, when it comes to the organization of thoughts, how do I distinguish between a thought that is from my nafs, from the shaitan, or perhaps from Allah, and what I'm
excuse
in context, to put some context in this, you know, how, and I think it might be a hadith or the Quran, I'm forgetting, but how shaitan may deceive you in thinking that you're doing good,
yep,
but you're actually like deceiving yourself, you're actually going
all right, here's the thing. This is a very good question because you're asking, how do we objectify something subjective? I mean, it's so subjective, right? So subjective. It's really simple. Every thought that we get, you have to weigh it in the scale of the Sharia. Right? You have to weigh it in the scale of the Sharia. Angels will only whisper to you to do nawafil and good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inputs into your heart the feelings that Islam is true, the Quran is true, Allah is real, Muhammad is true. We have many hadiths. The Prophet ﷺ would say, I testify that Allah is haqq, and I am haqq, and the akhirah is haqq, Jannah is haqq, Nar is haqq. These essential aqidahs, when they enter in our heart, that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no turning that away. The thought from an angel to do a good deed, I may do it or may not do it. Then the devils are two. The devils that call to sins to darken your heart, and the devils that, after your heart is darkened, call to doubts. Is this really true? Are prophets really real? That's from the big shayateen. That's the real goal. And the nafs, though. Now, what is the difference between the thought that comes from the ego versus the thought that comes from a devil, a shaitan? A shaitan will call you to anything bad. Anything bad. He'll throw everything at the board and see what sticks. But your nafs tends to have habits and will call you to the same thing. That is a sign of the nafs. So how do I know the difference? If something is from my nafs, I need to deprive myself. I need to fast. I need to skip a meal. I need to shrink my eating, my stomach. If something is from shaitan, I need to remember Allah. If something is from a big shaitan, a doubt, I need to study aqidah. That's how it works. And what is the difference between al-hawa and al-nafs? There's the Quran talks about the whims and the ego. The nafs calls to your classic temptations. Wealth, fame, anger, desire. All of these temptations are actually necessary parts of life and excellent good things if they're in the right tubes, if they're controlled. If they're wild, it's like a house where the electricity is live wires, water pipes have leaks, gas is leaking, stove is on with nobody watching. You're going to ruin your house in real fast. But if you didn't have any of these things, you can't live in the house either. Right, you have to have a little bit of greed. You have to have a little bit of desire. You have to have a little bit of stinginess helps you not waste your money. A little bit of greed helps you wake up in the morning and work. A little bit of desire makes you want to have a woman in your life. A little bit of hunger makes you want to go eat and benefit a restaurant. A little bit of laziness makes you want to rest your body and take care of your body. A little bit of all these things in the right time and the right location is necessary for life. So that's the nafs. The hawa, the whimsical aspect of a human being, it doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't have any function like this. Like, why would people in the 70s wear bell-bottom jeans? There's no function to it. It's just their whim. Why are people today dressing the way they are? Every time I go to a barber, he just chops the sides off of my head before I even looked. I didn't say anything. You know, that happened to me the other day. I sat down. I said, just trim off a little bit from the side. He didn't take scissors. He just went zzz. Now I'm stuck looking like a 16-year-old, right? And then my kids liked it. They said, keep it. I said, so I could look like I'm in high school, right? It did turn out to actually be pretty efficient, but why are the haircuts the way they are today? That's what people like. That's it. Why is the food certain ways in certain nations? Now, whims also have to be judged. There are whims that are halal. There are haircuts that you guys all have that are halal. And there are piercings and types of haircuts that could be haram. So whims have to... Then there are intellectual whims. So now you have the whole ummah at some point went into socialism, right? Now the whole the ummah is now going in... No, parts of it's okay and parts of it's not. Now the ummah's... A lot of the ummah are going into this Abrahamic all religions are good type of thing, right? That's deadly. Then before that, they went into Arab nationalism, right? Syria for the Syrians, Libya for the Libyans. How did that work out for you? That's unlawful for us too. Yeah, you're allowed to be happy about your nation, but you're not allowed to say there's a line between us Libyan Muslims and you Egyptian Muslims. We're not allowed to do that. All these lines should be dotted lines. That's a state, right? It's a state. And you guys have your own ways and you're separated by a desert. That makes sense. You govern yourself. But you can't say it's a two different countries. The Muslims are supposed to be one nation, right? And they're going to, it's going to come back to be one nation because we're a people who believe in the signs of the end of time. We're not like some modernists who don't believe in the signs of the end of time. But in any event, that's the answer to your question. So the whimsical nature, right, is like that. The whimsical nature, it doesn't have any benefit and it has to be weighed in the Sharia. Whereas the nefs, the desires of the ego, it's the age old, from Adam until the end of time, all humans will have these desires. Greed, power, lust, money, food, sleep, all we'll all have that. It's just a matter of honing it in. Next.
What du'as are best to recite at a deceased child's grave?
Any du'a. There's no specific du'a for a child. Any du'a.
Let's see. Okay. Someone's asking about the Pakistan segment. You can just rewind the timestamp, inshallah, after it's uploaded. Let's see. Will people of Jannah have their own planet and universe?
Yes. For whatever you desire. You want to be an astronomer in Jannah and see planets?
Is it haram to not participate in boycotts?
Is it haram to not boycott? Well, it could be. Possibly. Depends. Open this gentleman's mic. Speaketh.
Yeah, so I bought some McDonald's a couple of days ago.
How? What are you, Hanbali? Salafi? Or you bought fish?
No, egg and cheese.
Okay, khalas.
Egg and cheese biscuit.
I did su'adhan on the brother. Thought you bought a Big Mac or something.
No. I only eat halal.
Okay, good.
And at times, I would order the fish sandwich.
Well, you know what's his name? Asim Haq can be very happy with you right now.
Yeah.
Why
is that?
Because he's all with that. So is Rabbi Ferris.
No, he goes beyond that.
Yeah.
Because he finds eating the meat, the beef, acceptable as well.
Yeah. They're also against boycotting too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. See, that's not something that I've thought much about. That's not something that I ponder.
Listen, we got a simple rule. If a group with explicit facts, not maybe, no, we know for sure they're sending money to Israel. We don't buy from them. Like if it's that well known and it's something that's doable to avoid, right? I don't think anyone is getting rid of their Amazon Prime. I don't know what Amazon's policy is, but people need Amazon. Like some people, some households run on Amazon, right? By the way, we never mention our sponsor. GRT is our sponsor, and maybe Launch could maybe become our sponsor too. GRT, support GRT. What's the latest of GRT's campaign? But that's how I would look at it. Like Starbucks was easy to give up. I mean, that's not a bad habit in the first place to buy Starbucks. If you bought yourself a machine, a reasonably priced machine, what is it called? I can't remember the name. Yeah, but what company? There's a different, there are different ones. Sometimes $500, right? And then you buy your beans. You'll actually save yourself money from this habit of buying Starbucks on a whim. $3, $4, $5. Summertime hot cold drink, $8. It's actually bad economic practice for a person. To buy yourself a machine and do it yourself is far better.
My question is, that, to me, this just seems like a strong recommendation, you know, from the people, but me personally, I don't have a leader. Like, so I'm not subjected to the, you know.
No, you have to use your mind. You don't have a leader to tell you boycott and no boycott, but you have your brain.
That's it. I lean towards, you know, boycott. It's just not something I bother to think about.
Well, you just ask yourself, is it like factual 100% that this company supports that company that supports Israel and their politics? If the answer is yes, and it's not going to like be life altering not to buy from them anymore, let's don't buy from them. Right? That's it.
Yeah, no, I'm cool with that. My thing is, if you, let's say you decide to continue buying from them, does that make you, you know, a sinner?
Well, you're definitely sort of kind of helping them. You're in the cog. But let me ask you another question. Is McDonald's actually on that list?
Yes.
They're on that list. Not a branch, the McDonald's. Okay, corporation. All right. Starbucks is on that list. Man, I never... See, these two you shouldn't eat from anyway for health reasons, number one. Number two, Starbucks for your financial health. So this is actually good for you anyway. You're not losing anything. You're increasing. What else did you want to eat from?
Pizza Hut.
Is Pizza Hut on the list?
Yes.
There's a lot of good alternatives down Jersey.
There's a lot of alternatives. And these things, yeah, there's no... We're getting off of Wix, and that's taking a headache. That's taking a long time. You know how many websites we run? I don't know. It's been a headache to get off Wix, but we have to do it. Have to do it. Dar es Salaam. Hey, do you want to come with us to Dar es Salaam? Boys, all three of you, get ready to sign up for Dar es Salaam, Chicago. Let's read this a little bit and let's go to... we're going to probably take a van of 15 people. See, the thing is that we wanted to bring a van of the brothers and a van of sisters, but there's no sister accommodation there except in a hotel. So we're not going to do that. We're just going to take the brothers, right? Because at the cost would be high. I'm basically trying to give Dar es Salaam a little hint here. Use the sister's dorms. Like if I have a brother and his sister wants to go, his sister has to stay in a hotel with ghuraba, right? Ajanib. Why don't you, maybe the dorms next time. But anyway, let's take a look at the event. It's December 21 to December 23rd. Now, of course, if you're a family, the women could just stay with you in the hotel room. That's a possibility too. The subject is Harmony Within, Cultivating Love and Unity in the Modern Muslim Household. The Brothers Intensive looks like this. They recite Quran at 9:45. They have a halaqa and fajr from 6:15 to 7. Then they have a break. Then recite Surah Yasin from 9:45 to 10. Then it's me from 10 to 10:55. I give a talk. And then there's a break. And then I go again and talk from 11:35 to 12:45 on strong men, noble women, Islamic role in marriage, upholding marriage and morals in an evolving world. Then there's a lunch break, then Dhuhr. Then they recite Quran for a few minutes again. And then Sheikh Musa Sugapong will be speaking from 2 to 3. Then Salat al-Asr. Then Mawlana Uthman Akhtar from 3:45 to 4:30. Then Salat al-Maghrib. Okay. Then Mawlana Uthman Akhtar again. Mastering Family Boundaries Without Drama. And you do this for 3 days in a row. So again, it's from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's it, 12 hours. And then you chill after that. You can go maybe check out the city, right? Deep dish pizza. I'll do a deep dish pizza, but it's not going to be a good review, and I'm not paying for it.
Is this week after the Hanif Intensive?
This is December 21, 22, 23. If you want to get a bus, or you just talk to me, we'll put you on the bus. Musa Sugapond. Myself, Fahd Khan, should say, pronounce things properly, Fahad Khan. Sorry about that. Khalil Center. Mufti Minhaj, of course, Dar es Salaam. Mufti Azim, Dar es Salaam. Uthman Akhtar. Mawlana Uthman Akhtar, Dar es Salaam. Where's Farhan? So the courses or the talks, Beyond the Spectrum, Upholding Marriage and Moral Works and Morals in an Evolving World, Strong Men, Love in the Sunnah, Tying the Knot, In-Law Insight, Mastering Family Boundaries Without Drama, Parenthood on the Horizon, Raising the Next Generation, Marital Communication, Intimacy in Islam, The Juggling Act, Work, Kids, Marriage, Safeguarding Marital Bonds. Now let's look at the Sisters Initiative Intensive. Sisters Intensive also 6 to 6. Okay. And the top subject of Tying the Knot, Roundtable Discussion, Pre-Marriage Tips and Tricks. Wait, I need to attend. I need someone to record this one. Premarital Tips and Tricks. So what tricks are you teaching the sisters to do on us? This is the Sisters Intensive. It says premarital tips and tricks. Have I been tricked? Have people been tricked into this? You know, like in the Malcolm X movie, Malcolm X overheard, I think, one of the sisters saying she got him, right? When he got engaged. And he's like, wait a second. I thought I was I thought I was going after her. Turns out she was actually doing tricks on me. And he says in his book, he said, maybe she did get me. Anyway, but that's masjiddiyas.org. Go to the Winter Intensive. You'll have a lot of benefit. You'll love Dar es Salaam. And you got all evening, by the way, too, to check out Chicago and see there are other events going on, other things going on. So it's not like they're squeezing you too much. Okay. Next question. Let's wrap up with two more questions and then wrap up for the day. Live stream every day, mashallah, every stream is getting better and better. We got a lot of viewers all the time. We get a lot of viewers. And on YouTube, when the shorts come out and when the the videos come out. So mashallah, this stream is getting better and better and better. And also GRT is our sponsor. So try to help them out. Omar, if you can put a dollar, just give them a buck, right? Give them a buck, because their money is going now to Palestinian medical students to transfer their records and their education to Pakistan. Isn't this a brilliant initiative? Because if anyone's going to need doctors, it's Palestine. It's Gaza. What happened to all these Gazawis? Omar, could you kindly pull up the website so and share the screen so we could see? Sami Hamdi wasn't on. He was supposed to be on, but he missed his flight. And as a result of that, he couldn't come on today. He didn't arrive at his destination in time. No, we're off tomorrow. So GRT is now transferring Palestinian... I saw something that was sort of blasphemous. Curified mensef. You know mensef? Palestinian mensef? Yeah. Given the treatment.
Oh, curified? You said? No, no.
I thought you said like kufr. So oh.
They gave it the treatment. They deicified it. And I thought this is a whole nother level. Some lines should not be crossed. Yeah, you cannot curify the world, right? Leave us some foods, at least. Let us have something. Let us keep something clean and pure. I went and I was at a Desi masjid, or Desi community, basically, and there was Egyptian macaron bechamel, famous thing. I go to take it, curified. But it was good, though. It was, what do you guys call it? Keema? Like the really minced meat, but spicy. In the macaroni bechamel.
They got you.
Yeah, everything. I had a true dream. What do you know about it? If you have a true dream about someone, you should let them know if it's a good dream. Let them know about it. And hopefully it'll be a bushra for them. Right? Yes.
What's speak. Your advice to like young Muslims, youth, like navigating through like Muslim Twitter or Islam and TikTok, and they see all this like sectarianism, like Aqidah wars, fiqh wars?
It's going to die out, by the way, because people don't have that much energy and it's so negative. But I think that people should spend more of their time studying with a sheikh, with a teacher, rather than engaging in those things too much, because they're elevating issues that really aren't going to fully benefit you 100%, right? And getting back to the bare bone basics, and really the summary is, get yourself a living human teacher. Can a man shave his chest hairs? Yes, he can. He can shave any hair he wants in his body, except for his beard. And his eyebrows should not be trimmed like a woman. If he has excess, he can remove the excesses, but he should not shape it like a woman. Fasting the 6 days of Shawwal, it's any time of the year. It doesn't have to be in Shawwal. How to contact you? info@safinasociety.org is how to contact us. info@safinasociety.org. For Imam Malik, it's any time of the year. Best usul, al-fiqh?
Yeah, you know, like to study, to learn from.
Waraqat. You study the waraqat and its commentary. Our marriage predestined? Everything is predestined. Everything is predestined. But that doesn't mean you take no action and no responsibility. That's the difference. When I once put a post out one time that said, stop saying marriage is nasib, because what people are doing with that is they're basically saying, I'm not responsible. Whatever happens, happens. Right? It's your action and it's your responsibility. And there's no one to blame but yourself. Right? Now, yes, there could be an aspect of nasib that you can't control. In that case, you're not blameworthy. Such as, she changed afterwards. Yeah, but maybe you also influenced the change. And maybe you could still change her. Right? Like, two people get married, they're getting along. After 5 years, one of them's here and one of them's there. That doesn't necessarily mean you didn't cause that and you can't fix it. That's why I'm almost against this concept. Nasib is, it's just fate. But what, everything is fate. But what they're saying is, you can't control it and you're not responsible for it. That's what I'm against, totally. It's a cop-out word. Ah, it's my destiny. No, yeah, but you may have caused that and you can fix it. So where's human willpower? Allah doesn't put us in situations where there's no human willpower. Next subject.
There's a question. Resources for Spanish speaking new Muslims. Our sheikh doesn't speak Spanish and the brother's English isn't fluent.
Spanish resources for the Quran or Islam in general?
Muslims in general. Maybe, I mean, because La Cocina.
No, whose lectures are out there? Lectures directly from Spain. Yeah. Why did Medic, he held that the horse meat is forbidden? Well, he held that for a number of reasons. Number one, Surat Al-Hijr mentions Al-An'am, number one. The grazing cattle. Goats, sheep, cows. Of course, cattle is not, it's just to say cattle, and what's goats and sheep, whatever they're called in English. وَالْأَنْعَامُ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعُ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. These grazing animals, you can get warmth from their other benefits, and you eat from it. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ. And you have beauty. They're beautiful to look at. They relax you. That's why I got a goat. But they took it away from me. Okay. وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ. And it carries your weights. It carries your burdens. إلى بلد لم تكونوا بالغيه إلا بشق الأنفس. To countries you couldn't reach, lands you couldn't reach without hard effort. إن ربكم لرؤوف الرحيم. But then, next ayah says والخيل والبغال والحمير. Horses, donkeys, and mules. A mule is the result of a marriage or a union or a cohabitation, but they don't get married. Cohabitation between horses and donkeys. They produce a mule. A mule is medium size, but it cannot give birth. So mules, there's no lineage of mules, but there is lineage of horses. They trace them all the time to get the best kind of horses. So what does Allah say about them? He says about them, لِتَرْكَبُهَا وَزِينَ وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَتَعْلَمُونَ, for you to ride and to look at their beauty. So therefore, he did not mention eating. And as a result of that, Malik said, cattle is for eating and carrying loads and everything else, but horses are for use, but not eating. And that's the reason. So that is a prohibition based on ijtihad. Whenever someone says, is it haram? Or this is haram, this is or not. The question, the first question you should ask to be an educated person in Sharia and fiqh, are you saying it's haram based upon nas or ijtihad? The Hanafis hold lobster and crayfish to be haram. We hold horses to be haram in our madhab. But these prohibitions are not at the level of the prohibition of pork, right? Prohibition of pork is nas, not fiqh. It's nas, it's not ijtihad. These prohibitions are ijtihad. That means if you say, nah, I don't agree with that, you're good, up to you. We eat it. Yeah. Are you doing it? Okay, and I could do it. I personally am not doing it, but the Shabab are doing it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to stop here. It was a good two streams, I think. Jazakum Allah khairan, everybody. Highly disappointed, says Azlan, that you didn't answer my questions. Sad face, sad face, sad face, sad face. All right, you want to see these sad faces, Tajuddin? Look at that sad face. Okay, let's go to Aslan's question. He's a Turk. Aslan, give us your question. It's coming right out of Narnia. Aslan, here's another question. It says, can I use Ifmid to improve eyesight? Yes. Aslan, you got to repeat the question. You need to become a seasoned... Go ahead.
What is your opinion on the hadith of Ghazwat al-Hind?
He's not a Turk. Ghazwat al-Hind... Well, first of all, you know, there's ta'weed on it. They say that it happened already and that it's going to happen. So I can't give you a full answer. I want to read up a little bit more on Ghazwat al-Hind. That they say there are different hadiths on it, some saying, pointing that it already happened, and others that it hasn't happened yet. All right. We will see you all Tuesday, bi'idhni Allahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk wal asr. إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله والسلام عليكم
السلام عليكم
جاي Cheese.